Hello and welcome to the next episode of the Never Hack Cybercast. My name is Lewis Zezeran. I'll be your host today, and we are talking about a very timely topic for small and medium business in Estonia, NIS 2. It's a new cybersecurity standard, a resolution, and a law. It's many things, and we are going to demystify this. Some speaking has been done about this in Estonian, but not a whole lot has been out there in English. So we're trying to put some info out there today. And to talk about this, there is a gentleman who has worked with this quite a lot. I'm joined by my Never Hack colleague, Andres Jarv. Andres, how are you today?
I'm good.
Good.
Yeah, it's a nice weather. And
it is. It's a sunny day. There's a lot of snow.
Yeah. I must be happy.
So first of all, what's your title? What's your role? What do you do at NeverHack, and what do you do for our customers?
Yep. In NeverHack, I'm a security advisor. Mm-hmm. So most of my projects with customers are about either providing them a CISO as a service, basically, being their external information security manager, or so to say, or augment their existing team. Or we can also do for them implementations of information security management systems. So that's how NIS 2 and this topic also connects a lot with what I do, because the measures that come from there usually then come to my to my table, and our customers want us to help them with them.
Okay, so some customers, they have already been implementing some of these systems, NIS 2, ISO 27. We're also going to talk about that as well, how they all fit together. Some customers already been doing it before, and now the law has mandated that a whole bunch of new customers need to, or potential customers, so many businesses in Estonia are now catered to under this law. So let's start with some definitions first. So what's NIS 2?
NIS 2... In European legislation, there are like two large parts, right? You can have regulations, you can have directives. Mm-hmm. So a regulation is like GDPR. It's the text is in the European Union Gazette, and you take it from there and you implement it. Mm-hmm. And then there is there are directives, and every country within the EU has to think how they will implement it. It's basically it has requirements in them. And then every country needs to implement them in local laws. So NIS 2 is a European directive. It was preceded by NIS 1, which was like glorious improvement of security of network and information systems. Mm-hmm. So the NIS comes from there, network and information systems. And NIS 2 is then how the European Commission tried to make it better.
Okay, so that's their second go of it. Now, each individual country needs to have their own laws to implement this directive. Yeah. So Estonia has done. What has Estonia done to implement this directive?
Estonia has amended the Cybersecurity Act. Or in Estonian, it's called the Küberturvalisuse Seadus, or the abbreviation is KÜTS. So if you hear that, then that is NIS 2 in Estonia, essentially.
Okay. And does this fit into the, in English, we say the E? ITS, is this the same thing?
The Cybersecurity Act kind of gives you the legislative power to then have EITS,
right,
or AITS. So AITS is like the ISMS standard, something that a company takes and implements as picks their security measures based on that. But the thing that really mandates the company to implement it, this is then the law, the Cybersecurity Act.
So there's the Cybersecurity Act that says this is what we need to do.
Yeah.
And then there's several ways that a company can come into compliance with that act. One of them is the EITS, or EITS, as you do round out the words. And the other one is the ISO 27001. Is that right?
Yes, and there are, it's a bit more nuanced even.
Okay.
If you're a small or micro enterprise, then there is also a so-called small EITS, which is like a smaller subset of the requirements. And it's meant for institutions that have less than 50 employees, or whose turnover is less than 10 million or something like that, but who are still in the... governed by the law,
right.
But for most of them who are bigger, then it's either, yeah, the Estonian Information Security Standard 8 or it's ISO 27000. And the law itself, the Cybersecurity Act, covers more things that also NIS2 covers. So it has like reporting requirements, it has fines, it has all other like regulatory stuff in it. And then part of it is the security measures, and these are then the ISMS frameworks.
Okay. And do I understand that it's all can be a little bit tricky if you're a management board or leadership of a certain size company? It can be tricky to work out which category you fall into and what are your new requirements under the law.
Yes. It can be tricky to even figure out if you are a subject under the law.
Okay. So what are the basic requirements? Let's try and what are the big picture, like more than 50, less than 50, certain turnovers? You mentioned there were like different categories as sort of.
Yeah. It comes actually from mostly from the European directive. There are like two lists of industries, basically. So if you fall into some of these industries, then you are a subject of the directive and of the law.
Okay.
So, and there's like just a list of things. For example, NeverHack is an managed security service provider. So a managed security service provider is a subject of the law.
Hmm.
And now based on your turnover and on your headcount, you may be either an essential entity or an important entity. In the implementation of the Estonian law, there is essentially no big difference in what you need to do.
Mm.
You still need to implement like the same measures, etc. But the difference comes then in the repercussions if you don't do it. So the fines are bigger for the bigger guys, mm, or for the bigger companies, and also there are some other like things that are not connected to the security measures themselves.
Okay. And then there was the micro ones that you spoke about as well, like for the really smaller organizations.
Yes, so that was driven actually by the Estonian Family Doctors Association, as far as I know, because our system is like this, that you can have like a single practice, right? You can have like big health centers where there are like 10 doctors, but you can have a single practice with just one doctor. And for them to implement ISO or AIDS somewhere in the middle of nowhere where they where their practice is, is maybe a bit too much for them, as they're already struggling with all the administrative stuff that they have, right? So, and then in the end, they managed to also then convince the ministry that, yeah, maybe it is a bit overkill. So for the small and micro ones, then there is a simplified version and you don't need to do the audits as well. But if you're a medium or a large company, then you need to do the ISMS implementations with the auditing and the reporting of the audit results, et cetera, to the regulatory body. So
there's some
difference.
And so because there's a bunch of different criteria, the size of your company, the industry that you're in.
Yeah.
And so it's, as I understand, there's been some cases where it's open to interpretation and it's either sort of might be you, and then maybe legal advice needs to be brought into the matter as well to determine where a company falls.
Yes. It is my impression, and also I've talked to actual lawyers about this, that NIS2 is subjectively not very well written, and kind of coming from that, the local act is also maybe a bit confusing, right? Mm. So I mean, IT people are probably familiar with spaghetti code, and NIS2 and the Cybersecurity Act at times can be like a spaghetti law. Mm. That you need to really read through all the criteria before you decide whether you are or you are not a subject at all. Because just an example I had with the client, that they read through the criteria, they read through the list of industries, and kind of the heading was that, okay, if you're a large enterprise, then these industries can apply to you. And they're like, okay, we're not a large enterprise, so we can ignore this. But then the next paragraph in the law said that if you're a small enterprise, then these in the previous section also apply to you, and they didn't get to that. so they were hoping that they're not the subject of the law. But when we actually got through the next paragraph as well, then they were a bit disappointed that, oh man, okay, we're still seems like we still have to do it. So it's written so that there are a lot of references to other laws, like the Electricity Market Act or whatever, and references to other EU regulations, or even to some like industry specific regulations. So you really, if you want to like make sure that you're not in the scope, you really have to go through all of them one by one to make sure that it doesn't apply to you. But it applies in Estonia to over 5,000 organizations now, after it, like, the scope was broadened by NIS2. So there are actually a lot of companies who are in scope.
Right. And what was the approximate amount that the original NIS was under? So what's the growth? How many extra now?
I think the approximation was that before it was like between 2,000 and 3,000, and now it's between like 5,000 and 6,000. So it was like 2x growth, I think.
Which sounds like there could still be some confused company leaders out there. I mean, are we sure that all 3,000 are absolutely on board and know exactly what they need to do as of January 2026?
Yeah, that's a bit one of the like... That's one of the weaknesses of the law, I would say, that it relies on self-reporting. We have another law in Estonia, that's the Emergency Act, and if you're a vital service provider under that, then some government entity tells you that, hey, you are subject to the law, now please start doing stuff that's required from you. Mm-hmm. But with the Cybersecurity Act and with NIS2, it's the company themselves has to find out and then report to the Estonian Information Security Authority about it. The Estonian Information Systems Authority about it.
Is that RIA?
Yeah, RIA. Yeah. So it may be that there are companies who haven't even heard about it, don't know that they should look at it.
Okay.
And where
would this come out in the wash then? I imagine some years later, would it either be, for some reason, the RIA says, we're going to look closely at everybody? Or is it if company has a cybersecurity incident, all of a sudden this becomes a thing, and then we're like, wait, you never did any of this NIS stuff. How would this come out?
Yeah, I think these two are like plausible options that you brought out, that it may be, maybe it will come out only then when something happens with the company. And then you find out that, oh, but there were these regulations that you were supposed to follow and you didn't, and fines for not following them in that case can be pretty steep. It's like millions of euros or percentages of your turnover. It's a bit like GDPR, you know. You can get like really big fines for not complying, and this is one case. There has been some rumors that maybe RIA will kind of do some kind of tool that is integrated to the registry of enterprises, or I don't know what's the official name, that maybe you can find out somehow on some official site as well. But as far as I know, there is at the moment no such tool yet. So.
Okay. And is it the big thing for companies? I mean, why leaders should pay attention and what needs to change is that this makes leaders, or the management board, sorry, personally liable. If something goes down, it's not just pay the fine and we're out of here. Mm-hmm. It's that they become personally liable. So that makes them much more interested in this.
Yeah. First of all, from the beginning of the year now, the ones who are subjects, they have 3 months time to report to RIA that they are subjects. So this is maybe why there is an urgency to find out whether you need to comply or not. And the other part is, yeah, that you need to also then say who from your management is responsible for information security, and then they will get they will then be liable, yeah, if something happens. And also they will need to go through special training to actually know what an ISMS is, and know what security management is, know what risk management is. So there are also like additional additional requirements for the management board member.
So do I understand that when we talk about this personal liability, it's not like, oh, if the company gets hacked, you're up for it. It's that if the company gets hacked and we do an audit and we discover that you didn't follow due process, then you're personally liable. If a company, I don't know if I got this right or not, if a company does everything correctly, right? You can do everything correctly, completely audited, all in the books, and something can still happen because that's cybersecurity, right? Does that still leave out them liable?
I'm not the legal advisor. Okay, all so, right. So, but as far as I understand, then I think nobody will proactively probably come and kind of see after that. But it will. I think it will still be like that the regulatory body like RIA will probably have some controls. They will pick a subset of companies from all the subjects and then go and ask them how they have complied, etc., etc. But I think usually if you look at how RIA and other Estonian regulatory bodies handle this, then they're more like cooperative. They try to help you fix it. Mm-hmm. Also the fines and the personal liability, they're usually meant for cases where the company doesn't comply. Doesn't comply even after they have been many times notified about it. So I would think it's for extreme cases or when really something has gone badly.
Mm. Okay, that makes sense. So let's move on. We're running a company and we think we've determined where we fit in of the three scales. So what? Mm-hmm. How does a company go about implementing? What are the choices that they have to be able to implement this law in Estonia?
Yeah, as we said before, there are basically three larger choices, right? Mm-hmm. So the first one is then the Estonian Information Security Standard, which is a standard developed in-house by RIA, but they have based it on a German standard by the German Information Security Authority, BSI. Mm-hmm. So they have taken the German standard, they have made it more Estonian, and then it's primarily like meant for the government sector, but everybody can use it. It's a free standard. You can go to aids.ria.ee and everything is there that you need to implement it. Mm-hmm. Then the second option is the ISO 27001 standard. With the first one, then you need to implement the standard, and then afterwards you need to send the audit report to RIA. That's how you show that you are in compliance. With the ISO standard, then it's also you need to implement the standard. You need to certify. Then you need to have a certification audit. You get a certificate, and then you send it to RIA. Mm-hmm. And then the third option when you implement this so-called preliminary security measures, esmased turvameetmed, then you just need to do a self-assessment, basically. You need to still implement the things that are written there, but you don't need to like order an audit, pay for it, and send it to RIA. You can make a self-assessment, and then probably sometime RIA will come maybe and check whether you have done it.
Okay, and that's for the micro ones that we're talking about for that. Okay, and is the micro ones like a subset of EATS or subset of the Estonian one?
Yeah, okay, yeah. It's mapped to the EATS measures, but okay. I think some of them have been rewritten, but you can view it as a subset of EATS. Yeah.
Okay, something like that. So broadly then, there's these two ways that we can go out of implementing. We can do the Estonian EATS or we can do the international ISO 27001. So why are there two choices, and how do those two choices differ?
Well, the standards themselves, like the core standard body, is quite similar, but they differ then in the catalog of measures, basically. So the EATS follows maybe a German tradition of everything being very very detailed, and also the methodology is actually different. You have like a prescribed methodology how to find out which level of security you need, and then after you have found that out, then the methodology also gives you all the measures you need to do. Mm-hmm. And with ISO, you need to do risk assessment. You need to find out what your risks are, and then pick the security measures from that. And ISO also doesn't prescribe that much, so it's more loosely written. The security measures are recommendations. You can have your own security measures to supersede them. In AITS, it's a lot more strict. It's like everything is written to you. Why there are two different parts? I think it's maybe historical also, that for example, historically maybe there wasn't that much competence in risk assessments and risk management. Like several decades ago, like risk management professionals weren't so widespread. So the government needs something that really prescribes what to do and to give it centrally, more centrally. Mm. But for international organizations, or also for some government organizations that do a lot of international cooperation, then the benefit of ISO 27000 is, of course, it's basically a global standard. You can if you have the certificate, you can present it to your partners in, I don't know, the UK or Italy, and they will not in full understanding, and they will understand what it is. But if you go with an AITS audit report, then probably you'll need to do some further explanation.
Okay, so AITS kind of holds your hand, it seems to me, a lot more like do this, do that. Yeah. These are exact things that you need to do, but it's an Estonian-only standard. Yes, based off Germany, yeah. Da-da-da, but it's still essentially, you know, this. But where ISO mm-hmm. is a bit more open-ended, a bit more you have to interpret it yourself. Mm-hmm. But if you do manage to get the ISO standard, then that's internationally recognized. So that's why. So would you say companies are going for one or the other? One's more popular or so forth?
I think probably most government entities and also many government-owned organizations probably go for AITS, because there is a government community around it, right? There is a lot of helping each other but for private entities, I feel that ISO is probably more popular. Okay. Just because the amount of paperwork you need to produce is probably smaller. Mm. And it's also easier to explain to your clients or to your partners what it is.
So let's say customer rolls up. Hi, is this NeverHack? Yes, look, we've heard we've got to do this ISO 27001 thing. No problem. We've got our guy Andres. He's going to be your VC, so he's going to help you out. How do you begin with a customer? What are the first steps mm-hmm. that we work towards this compliance?
Usually when we take on a project, then we try to do a gap analysis at first. We need to establish what they have, what they don't have. And based on that, we can then have an action plan for like the next stage of the project. That what are we going to focus on? Well, there are some parts that are mandatory for every company, but then some parts of the implementation are unique to the client. So the first phase is then such gap analysis, which takes like up till a month usually. And then the next part is actually implementing all the processes, writing all the documents, getting all the approvals from the management, etc. So this can take like maybe up to half a year maybe. Okay. And then after that, we can still stay and support the process. We can help implement technical controls. We can help communicate with the auditor, mm-hmm. for example, and also with our partners. We can also help you in communicating with the regulator if that's something that you need.
All right, so you're quite open to how the customer, if they need a lot of help, a little help, a lot of hand holding, or just some guidance on the trickier points.
Yeah, well, of course, if a customer doesn't have a lot of like work done beforehand, then we can offer something, and we have a good knowledge, like what's needed, what we need to do. But if a customer is very knowledgeable or already like half there, then we can tailor the approach as needed.
Coming back to your initial steps, the gap analysis and looking at, can you dig into, maybe just pull out some examples of what are we looking for in a company? What needs to happen? Like, what is the meat of this things that we're auditing and processes? And give us some just real examples that people can grab onto.
Sure. Yeah. So, for example, do you have an information security policy? Do you have somebody who is responsible for information security in your company? Do you have a risk management framework? Do you actually somehow manage and assess your IT risks? Do you somehow manage or register your incidents? Then looking at some of the more technical controls, maybe do you have asset management? Do you know where your computers are and what's installed in them?
Okay.
Do you have any kind of vulnerability management? Do you know if they're like running 6-year-old Windows that hasn't been patched? So, and if you go through all of these controls, which some of are organizational, some are technical, and some are also personnel related. So, for example, when somebody comes to work for your company, do you educate them about cybersecurity somehow? Do you show them your procedures that you have written and that they should know? So the first phase is basically looking broadly at all of such control areas and seeing where most work has to be put in. And then afterwards, we can kind of carve out then the more detailed deliverables that need to be made, whether it's a policy, whether we need to change like an HR process, whether we need to implement the management process. Maybe the client needs some support with implementing a technical solution that they don't have. Mm-hmm. There's a possibility we can help with that as well. So,
and do you find, is there any broad trends that you're seeing that companies are more likely to have a policy issue, or they're more likely to have a technical issue or something else, or it's just very different for every company?
Oh, it can be very different. Yeah. I cannot bring out like a common theme. Well, usually if they haven't done anything towards implementing an ISMS, then we first start with the process itself, like the security management process. Like, how do you, your policies, how do you measure things, how do you report to the management, how does management take decisions to improve security, how you manage the risks, how you assess the risks, how are these reported to the management. So usually, even if you do like cybersecurity to some extent, like you have antivirus or something, then this management process side is often neglected.
Sure, I can imagine. Hey, yeah, sure, we've got passwords. Yeah, we've got this. Yeah. Hey, we've got this, the antivirus, but have you got any procedure around it? What is how seriously does management take these cybersecurity risks, or is it something delegated down the line, or has it still been a struggle for you sometimes to convince, let's say, leaderships as to how much, like, this should be getting your attention, this is really important? Mm-hmm. Has the law and everything around it opened their eyes, or is there still a little bit of, you've got to nudge these leaders to be like, hey, this, the law says you really need to pay more attention to this than you are?
The world is not perfect, right? So even if there are laws to govern things, then it doesn't mean that people are eager to oblige to them always. I just read about an article that I think in Germany, like single-use plastic ware that you eat from.
Cutlery.
Yeah. So this was banned like over 5 years ago, but it's still widely used everywhere. Yeah. So it's with laws, it's also always, this is a question. And of course, we also have some experience with clients who do not fully understand what the law asks from them. So they know that they need to do something, but they have the impression that maybe the consultant will do everything. Mm-hmm. And we can do a lot, but it's still like the company's responsibility to also do something.
Right, which seems to be framed in the law that someone's held personally responsible. That seems that it seems to me the intent is screaming out there. We are doing everything we can legally to make sure that leadership is hearing this loud and clear.
Yeah, but
you need to pay attention.
I mean, it's normal because it just takes time. You know, the previous 3,000 companies that have been subject to the NIS 1, you know, they got the requirements in 2022. And they needed to comply by the end of last year. And a lot of them are scrambling right now.
That's from the original 3,000.
Yeah.
Right. And now we've got this new 3,000 who maybe have been smaller or different, who maybe had even less idea this was a thing.
Yeah, yeah. So it will be very interesting. You know, when this law was kind of drafted, then I think there were many people who were voicing their concern over how broad the scope actually is, etc. And I think there's a lot of work to do, just educating companies, actually getting them to get this initial compliance and then to actually improve their security posture. So
is the government doing that? I mean, what is the responsibility of a government here? Let's say this, I mean, it's one thing to write the law, you've got to do these things, fine. But then there's education and getting the knowledge out there and sort of making this ongoing process, which brings me sort of maybe broadly to my next thought. It's like, where does this movement go over the next 6 months to 18 months? Is it just companies doing their best to get on board? I mean, how do you sort of see the businesses are starting to wake up? If you look into your crystal ball, what do you see in 18 months' time?
Well, the deadline to comply is 3 years.
Ah, okay.
So if you've ever had an exam in your life and the exam is in 3 months, do you start studying now or in the last month?
Okay.
So I'm not sure if in 18 months how much will change, really. Probably some companies are probably more ahead thinking in this, right? They know that in the end it will be more expensive for them, and there will be a lot of companies wanting the same services and the same audits, etc. So we've already had clients approach us who say that we want to do it as soon as possible because, you know, we know we need to do this, and if we stall it for 2.5 years, then we're all going to be competing for the same small like consultancy resources.
Okay, because there's so many consultants like yourself in small Estonia that have such experience. And then do I understand as well, there's also a pool of auditors.
Yeah.
I mean, the auditing isn't just a walk in, eat an apple, check some tech boxes. Like, it takes a lot of work. So they have only a finite amount of auditors in their schedule as well.
Yeah, yeah. And especially with AITS also, because it's an Estonian specific standard. So you only have the market of Estonia, right? So that is also something that some of the auditors have been really vocal about also in the drafting of this law, that we don't maybe even, there is no way to have so many auditors to audit so many companies, but we'll see, you know, if there is demand there, maybe there will come supply as well, right?
Okay. Yeah, sure. I can imagine. Okay. People need auditors. Someone's going to train up and become.
Yeah, but my suggestion to companies would also be that don't like wait until the third year to even start, because then there's a, often companies underestimate how long it really takes to change their processes. So a consultant may say that we'll have you ready in 1 year, no problem. You know, we also have this nice slide decks where you're like ready. But you know, in practice, you may have like other projects you need to do in parallel. Your people maybe are not available also, even if the consultants are. So better like start like 2 years before. Okay. So then if you're lucky, you'll do it in 1 year. But if you're not lucky, you still have 1 year to actually manage it. So.
Because this isn't just about checkboxes. It's not just about producing a report. The McKinsey report gets put on the table, bada boom, bada bing, we're done. It can mean some quite fundamental changes to the business process, which, as you say, may or may not take a lot of time to re-implement inside of your company, depending on how agile.
Absolutely. Because if you actually have internal audits and you have external audits, on parts of your companies, i.e. Information security that you haven't audited before, there will be a lot of findings at first, right? So, and also you think that you have changed your process or done something in a way that's sufficient, that may not be the general consensus.
The auditor can come in and be like, nah, guess what? Yeah. Okay, yeah.
And then, you know, I think it's also quite common to underestimate how long it really takes to change a process, right? Mm. So it's not only like the information security manager, okay, you like hire one guy and then he will change all the processes. No, he needs to work with the HR department, with the building management department, with maybe your security service provider, you know, with IT. The management needs to maybe have some new, I don't know, monthly meetings to discuss information security. You maybe need some new cybersecurity services to protect your company. So it's a lot of things to do, and the sooner you start thinking about it, then I think it's the easier for yourself.
This makes sense. Do you think I think let's wrap it up soon and kind of come bring this conversation to its conclusion. How do you feel Estonian businesses broadly have responded to this? Is it negative? Are you hearing negative things, positive things, a mix of those things? Are we happy that something's come along and, okay, this is broadly, it's going to help our posture? Do we see people complaining and having a good old whinge about this? What are you seeing in the business space?
I think there was a lot of criticism when this law was drafted. This maybe came from the process of how different industries were kind of brought into the process, and at first they didn't really get to maybe express their opinion or something like that. But I think, okay, the dust is now settled down. The law is in place, and I mean, in general, I think industry understands that cybersecurity is important. Everything is digitalized already now and even more in the future, so we need to do it. But I know that there are industry organizations that are already pushing for change to the law as well, to do it in a more manageable fashion, for example, as we talked previously, that it's the scope is a lot broader, and you know, maybe there needs to be some more nuances in there, right? Like who really needs to comply at what level.
Okay,
but I think in general, I got asked during an presentation of like what is AITS. I did it for a client, like everybody could join, and somebody asked from me in the end that so what is the message? Is AITS here to stay? So I think it probably is, right, because the European Union is really trying to regulate the cyber security field. We are part of it. We need to have the same security measures as everybody else to be a common market, et cetera, et cetera. So it's not going away. Like, we can improve the law in the future. And I know that there are like companies or organizations that want to do it. But I think in general, everybody has kind of accepted that, yeah, okay, we need to somehow get through this. And it's a net positive, hopefully, to the whole society when we get hacked less, right?
I think so too, right? It is a net positive. We need to highlight these issues. Mm-hmm. It's something we encounter every day at NeverHack, that small and medium businesses, particularly in a small country like Estonia, a lot of them still don't quite grasp, hey, no one would ever hack us. Mm-hmm. Oh, we're too small. Who would notice us? But that's where things are at right now. Small and medium businesses are being targeted, not just the big players.
Yeah.
And we need to educate at all levels here. So is it perfect law? Doesn't sound like it. Is any law perfect? Not really. But also, it's not going away. So hiding the head in the sand may not be an effective strategy for this one either.
Yeah, and I think with companies, it's maybe the same as with children, that you have small companies, you have small problems, you have big companies, you have big problems. So it's not always dependent on the size either. And if you're a small company, then really complying is may also be a lot easier in the end than for a large, sprawling enterprise.
Okay. So if someone is, if they still don't understand, if they're not sure where they fit in, that's where they can contact NeverHack, talk to you, reach out directly and work, and then sort of, yeah, you can provide them that guidance to how should they do it. Is it something NeverHack can help them with, or how to proceed from there?
Yes, of course. You're always welcome to contact us, and we'll have a preliminary meeting with you. We'll kind of sketch out what your problem is, what your aim is, what your timeline is, and we will offer a solution to your issues and take these problems away, hopefully.
Good. All right. Well, let's leave there. Andrus Jaar, thank you very much for explaining these two to us today. And thank you very much for listening. I hope that this gave you an overview of what this thing is, how you can go about approaching it if you are a small or medium business in Estonia, and how it's going to affect you and how it's going to affect industry overall in our fine country. My name is Lewis Zezeran. Thank you for joining us today. This has been the NeverHack Cybercast. If you are interested in this, click subscribe. You can also comment on Apple Podcasts. That helps us a lot. And if you would have a comment suggestion, if you have somebody to talk, you can write to cybercast@neverhack.com. And if you would like to talk to Andres or I, you can reach out to us personally on LinkedIn. We are happy to say hello. Thank you very much. See you next time.